Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Both teams were really didn't turn the ball over 7-4 in a game like that is incredible. You know, they can really shoot it. They didn't shoot it quite as well in Syracuse, 10, but they made 15 here. They can shoot the ball. The kid Allen really hurt us. You know, we were worried about Nolly and Cone, but he really hurt us. I mean, he was 5 for 6 there. I mean, it was great shooting, great shooting. You know, we didn't shoot it like we need to from 3. 6 for 24, that's not usually good enough for us. Joe was good tonight offensively. He made a couple defensive mistakes, but I kept him out because Howard was getting the ball to people and doing a really good job. We got on a little run there, but, Joe's very important to us. When he's out, they just sent that double team at Elijah, and we can't score in that other position, so we had to get Joe back in there just for the threat. Now they're not going to send the double team. You know, Marek is a key guy for us. You know, he had 11-11, you know, 2 assists. He breaks pressure for us. He's played great. I think, we're getting better as a team from where we were in the beginning of the year. Actually, a lot better than we were in the beginning of the year. But our defense is better, which you expect. You're playing three juniors and three freshmen really are playing. That's who's playing for us. It's going to take some time to get where you want to go. And I think we are getting better, but we still got a long way to go, and we still got to get better. The problem is that it doesn't matter who you're playing in this league, they can beat you. Everybody thinks the league's down. We don't have the top teams that we had last year, but the rest of the teams are better than they were last year. We played really well here. We got the 12-14 point lead. We were in a good position right there. And Elijah was 1 for 7 the first half, 1 for 8. So, you know, he usually makes a couple of those shots, and we could be in a good, really good position. But you know, they kept the game close, and they fought back. And, you know, BB, you know, we weren't going to guard him, and he made shots. I mean, he hurt us second half. You know, he made 2 in the lane. He made the 3. That, you know, then he made the last one. So we had 8 of his points, I think, 9, maybe all 9 second half. So he hurt us in there. You got to give something up.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. Rate, review, and subscribe whatever platform you listen on. We appreciate that. Thank you to everybody who already has. Happy Sunday.
Yes.
I don't know what is going on with the sound. I don't know if that's going to record like that or not, but if it does, my apologies. So I'm not doing it over again. did you notice anything? Did you?
Yeah, I heard a little. Yeah, a little bit.
Some variants? Yeah.
Nothing we can't work through. Come on.
Okay, all right. Just
We'll be okay.
Yeah, happy Sunday. All right, look. The Orange keep it rolling with their third win in a row. A 71-69 cardiac win over the Hokies. As predicted, in fact, they improved to 11-7, 4-3 in the ACC, and they'll be on the road again, and they're going to travel to the Joyce Center for their second meeting of the year with Notre Dame Wednesday on the 22nd. We will go through all of that and let you know what to think there. I think that's another one that is kind of a redemption game, if you will. Yep. I don't think that's any question there. And we're going to do all this. We're going to do fan feedback, and we're going to have all the normal festivities like we normally do after this, after these words that I'm about to say again. again. Listen, past, present, and future online bettors. Look, there's only one place to go, and that is mybookie.ag. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all that come to play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. In fact, we got a little deal for you. If you don't know what's going on or what to expect, you got some questions, you find yourself wondering what it's all about, and you need some answers, don't worry about it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process, and the best part is if you join now, you'll still be able to receive this offer here. Log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit using the promo code CHAIR. That's C-H-A-I-R, CHAIR. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart that bankroll. That's mybookie.ag. Make your first deposit by using the promo code CHAIR, and they will double your deposit up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag. Thank you. You play, you win, you get paid. Appreciate you, MyBookie.
Is there...
All right. Well, redemption in Blacksburg, man. And, the last game, losing in the Dome the way that we did, another close game, 67-63. This will add another quad one win to the resume, and going 3-0 so far in road games in the ACC. Syracuse's own Buddy Boeheim turns it on after a series of airball chants early, and he was caught on TV saying he can't guard me. Who was that? Couture? Yeah. He said this
definitely
after Couture.
Said that.
He definitely did say that. Couture
speaking the truth.
Yeah, he was. Couture having a hard time with him. They made some adjustments, but not before. Buddy scored 18 points in the first half. The good, obviously, the aforementioned Buddy Boeheim. He finished with a game-high 26 points. Syracuse won the rebound battle again, 35-33. It's pretty good, as expected, should be more, I think, but I'll take it. How about only turn the ball over four times to Tech 7? That's huge. Tech doesn't turn the ball over much, and we're kind of hit or miss with it. But we mentioned in the preview that Dolezal had to play a good game, and he did. He finished with a double-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, and he is key. You heard Coach Jim Boeheim say that. He's key. He is key. 34 points in the paint for the Orange to Virginia's 12. 13 points for Syracuse off of 7 Virginia Tech turnovers, and only 3 points for Tech off of Syracuse's 4 turnovers, as we just mentioned. The bad, Joe Girard wasn't in rhythm in his 24 minutes he played. He went 3-for-6 from the field, finished with 6 points. He just couldn't get it going. And 25% from 3 as a team for Syracuse, 6-for-24. If you told me that we were going to hit 6 threes and they hit 15, I would have thought there was no way we win that game. 5 of those 6 coming from Buddy, Elijah, and Joe with a combined 6 points in the first half. The Hokies finished 15 of 37 from behind the arc, and as I just mentioned, and why not throw in some, the officiating was a little whatever, ticky-tack here and there. That's the bad. The ugly, the last 10 seconds of that game for Virginia Tech, that was ugly. Coming out of a timeout like that, and is that what they drew up or what?
I don't know, but
what was that?
It's a bad shot with 4 seconds to go is what it is. So.
Holy cow. Yeah, he had a couple extra seconds to make something happen. Allen was hot.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. There was a couple other guys that were hot, yeah. Maybe that's what they wanted to do and then thought shoot it early and maybe we get a chance for
a 3-point play at the line.
Or a rebound or something like that, right? So... I just think that really looked ugly because it was ugly as far as the shot. If you would have made it, everyone would have been like, oh.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been in the ugly, that's for sure. It would have been ugly for Syracuse. But
yeah,
a couple butt-pucker moments coming down the stretch there. A couple times Syracuse had a chance to extend that lead late in that last minute of a play, or minute and a half, say, and they just couldn't do it. But Dolezal... the one that came through was Dolezal, in my opinion. Buddy Boeheim was great, but Buddy Boeheim is almost a constant great, right? The kid scores like 0 points one half and comes out and scores 25 in the second. He's always making up for it somewhere, right? So, Dolezal, though, double-double, that's freaking awesome. And that's what we needed.
That's what we talked about, right?
Yeah, totally.
We need that constant person. We know that Joe Girard, he can get hot, but... he really isn't up to the point where we can definitely know that it's coming from him. I think that we have a little bit of safety there, knowing that we're going to get probably somewhere between 35 to 40 points between Buddy and Elijah every night. So just we got to have that third person. Don't know where it's going to come from. And tonight was really interesting because I think Boeheim knew coming in that we weren't going to be able to both shoot the way that we did last time, right? And it wasn't going to be able to be like that. So I think he knew that we had to find another way to score. And you saw them early. I mean, Sidibe got the first 2 points. Doljai, definitely played a lot more aggressive with a lot more confidence in getting his double-double and doing the little things that we needed. Another thing surprised me, he only had one personal foul. So
I know, that was great. And that's what we said. He needed to play to the last buzzer of that game, regardless.
Yeah. Right. And realistically,
40 minutes.
Just watching, we had three guys play 40 minutes, and that's probably going to be a constant unless we have a situation like Boston College or maybe there's, you know, foul trouble or some type of injury. But the best part about this, obviously, is watching the team being able to come back and get revenge, redemption, so to speak. And I'm sure you're pretty happy about it with the two Virginia teams.
I'm so happy with it. So, I know Tech fans. I know Cavalier fans. And I mean, it's great.
Right.
It's a good time.
And so you saw that this time around, we had a better game plan. We knew what they did last time, and we did have some strengths that could kind of overcome their weaknesses. And we just made sure that we did it. Not having a lot of turnovers, like you said, was key because it's not like we shot, 6 of 24 from three-point line. So
yeah, not good.
Usually we do a little bit better than that. But because we scored in the paint and some of our big guys did some things. And how about Guerriere on the off, or the rebounds in the first half when Sidibe, when he had to come out and he got an earful from Jim Boeheim because he couldn't get out to the corners.
Close out. But I mean, that's...
But yeah, Guerriere came in and he rebounded, his butt off for the whole, that first half. It's just... Too bad that he got himself in foul trouble, but you're really seeing, again, a young team kind of coming into their own, figuring out their roles, and I think it's one of the better coaching jobs that this coaching staff has had because
the
fact that they know what their weaknesses are. They know what they don't have. So every single game, I mean, you saw, remember Virginia? Well, we slouched back. We were daring them to shoot threes, right?
We've seen the game plans. We've seen the game plans playing out, right?
Right. Now, Boston College and Virginia Tech, they weren't very tall teams. Both their just tallest guys are, 6'8". They don't really have that offense down low, and they had to shoot to beat us from the outside. So you saw a completely different zone with the four guys coming up and really daring them to go down low and try to score. So, the last three games, I thought, have been greatly coached, and I'm glad that the players are actually – following the game plan, understanding that they need to listen to the coaches and they need to do that and adjust throughout and gain some confidence in their roles for this team. And the last three games have been huge for that for us.
I thought Coach was going to body slam Sidibe at one point. that one three that was Cone too, wasn't that Cone?
So upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so upset.
Oh my gosh. It was so bad though. It was so wide open in bed. It was just horrible. But CDB can't move like that, man. It's like that's a long area to cover.
Man, you can't let yourself get picked though.
Oh, I know.
The most frustrating thing is it's like the first 4 minutes and that's all they've game planned about.
Oh,
was their whole
now Cone's starting. So. That was Cone's first start, by the way. His springboard, his springboard to stardom was the Syracuse game in the dome. The guy's been doing a great job. He had scored 15 points. I think it was against, who'd they just play? Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
So he had 15 points there. He's been coming off the bench, like, probably
Wake Forest, one of two.
Yeah, I think it was Wake Forest. But one of those, same colors. Either way, 15 points, and he's been coming off the bench. He's probably one of the strongest bench players in the ACC since that game in the dome, and now he's starting. So, he was going to.
That could have been a matchup situation with us, and that might not be something that stays because I believe he came in and started for Aline, who came in and ended up going 5 of 6 from the 3-point line. So, those two guys, they definitely kept them in the game. I mean, they went 9 of 16, I think, combined, right? So, or 9 of 14. So,
9 of 14,
from the 3-point line. So,
was actually 5 for 6 for 17 points, and all of his. all of his well.
Yeah, I don't. Five, well, hey, he reacted, right? He reacted for not starting. He came in, and, you know. So, but yeah, I think the main thing here that
he
kept
doesn't
us
shoot
to be
like
able
that
to allow
normally,
right? But to be able to allow us to really to have won this game in such close fashion with missing all those threes, realistically, was the fact that we kept the turnovers down and we didn't allow them to get second chance points like we've seen teams kind of all year get a chance. You know, we out rebound them and didn't really get too many opportunities for some second chance points. So
well,
that was really
the teams are so evenly matched that we saw in the last game. There's the team that made the fewest mistakes, and Syracuse made the fewest mistakes.
Yeah.
And you know, we just barely won it. So best win of the season, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's tough to look at it, obviously, like talent-wise and what people thought Virginia Tech was going to be and who knows by the end of the season. But as far as currently right now, they were 34th in the net ranking. That's by far the highest that any team that we beat has had. So,
yep, absolutely.
And an away game, so absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, yep. All right, well, it's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
Y'all know what to do. Go to social media after the game. Hit them up. I'll propose a question to give you your thoughts. You do so, and then I read through them, or I skim through them, and I find ones that maybe catch my eye. Sometimes I don't even do that. Sometimes I don't even read them at all, and we just come up here and wing it. Which is really
can't even read.
Not ideal for me. Anyway, let's see. At Jeff Henley 3 on Twitter. We defend, we don't turn it over, and we can shoot. Love this team. Must get better shots down the stretch going to the rim. Yeah, a lot of missing around the rim and stuff like that, but we're not always going to be able to be that team either. And in fact, going to Notre Dame, that's not going to be you know, our objective. Yeah.
You never know, because we do have to get those guys in foul trouble.
That's true.
That's one big thing. But, yeah. You know, Elijah, I think he missed some that he wished he could get back, you know, trying to use his size and backing down some of those guards that were guarding him on Saturday. He had some ones that just hit the front rim and dropped down instead of backing in. So those are ones he's normally going to get. They were easy on his standard that he missed, but I think more to what he was talking about, it was the end of the game, the reason why it was so nerve-wracking. We had the lead, and it just seemed like we were trying to not run our offense and kind of milk the clock, and we didn't really end up getting good shot selections the last couple possessions, which allowed them to actually come back and make it.
Well, it took the whole second half, the last maybe 2 minutes of the first half and the whole second half to chip away at a 16-point lead that we had, right? Maybe it wasn't 2 minutes, but they narrowed it down to eight. They went on an 8-0 run to end the first half. And then, you know, we were up by eight. They got within one, and we pull ahead a little bit, but they were chipping away at that lead. And, man, you just saw it shrinking down when it got to one. And, I mean, that place got loud.
Yeah.
And it was
and I would have just liked to have seen some better possessions at the end.
Right.
Because it was a kind of reminded me of last year with just hold the ball, and then it was just Elijah Hughes. And I just don't think
And you could see it coming too.
Yeah, I don't believe that those were the greatest shot selections. So I would just like to what he had said. We gotta get in those positions at the end of the game situations, which young teams get better as they experience them. So I would imagine hopefully next time that we're in that position, we get better.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors,
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Possessions, better shots.
Yep. At Malibu 6900. Solid contributions by Washington, who settled things down. Quincy as well. I think they were getting a little tired, but hung on for a great road win. Yeah, Washington just goes in there like, I don't know, the Zen master, and freaking, you know, just cool as a cucumber, you know, kind of directing traffic, and just, I mean, he does a fantastic job. I think he was plus 16 or something when he was out there. So if I'm not mistaken, that's when they went on that run, in the first half.
Yeah, early.
So, yeah. Yep. So,
but you know, we saw the other coach there, make some good adjustments when he did come in the second half for Joe. You saw Joe, he had made some plays that aren't like himself, you know, the ball going through his hands. I think he had an errant shot there after him and Beatty got into a little shoving match, so to speak. And
well, I think Beatty was trying to hold him up, actually, but he didn't like it.
No.
I don't blame him.
Right, yeah. But, and then he took a bad shot after that. So I just don't think that Joe was really happy with himself, and he kind of has to learn to kind of let those plays go. But Howard Washington, he came in, and like you said, distributing the ball, played well. But as you saw in the second half, they made a defensive adjustment to basically, if Howard Washington is going to be out there, leave him open. And then one time he was out there wide open on the baseline, and that's not the shot that we want. That's a shot that they want us to take, not us. And Howard Washington, to what Jim Boeheim said in post-conference, or the post-conference, that that's what they wanted. And he says, we don't want that. So he's going to have to, you know, dribble it somewhere, try to. Yeah. So that's why they had to end up putting Joe back in. So Howard Washington, he can do things like that. But again, that's just kind of another reason why he's limited. Unless he adds a piece of that game where he can hit those open jumpers.
I was just going to say that. If he could hit shots, it's another dynamic to the game just completely. But he just doesn't hit a lot of shots. What was he, 1-for-4 or something like that? So,
He can distribute the ball. He can play good defense. But when the other defense
is smart enough
to kind of make him beat you on offense, then at some point there, you got to make the change.
Right, exactly. At Logan Wagner 2 on Twitter, overcame some questionable calls. Buddy Buckets is going to be the best shooter we've ever had. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think King and Gerard are so good, but you're looking at Chase and Jerry McNamara, basically, right? You know, to dethrone him, I don't know. But those are both four-year players, so there's a shot.
Yes, exactly. And the way you want to look at it, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so maybe this could be some homework for the next podcast. But we'd have to put Buddy and Jerry McNamara's freshman year to each other because Jerry played a lot. He was, you know, starting point guard on a national championship team.
Right.
So
yeah. Some of the calls, I thought, first off, I think I'm drawing a blank, but I'm mixing games together. I was thinking about that charge, but it was a lean in. That was the last
game. Yeah, I just don't really think this game was called that bad, to be perfectly honest with you.
It wasn't terrible, but I think there was some things. Buddy was hit on a shot that fell short, just barely touched the net. I believe his arm was hit. You saw Coach complaining about it and stuff like that. There's always going to be stuff like that. But
might have been some weak over the back calls, but I'm
On Sidibe, because he just hangs over top of people.
I thought there was a weak one on Sidibe, but I also thought there was a weak one on Guerriere as well. So
okay, as far as the broadcast went, I thought the broadcast was good, and I didn't get their names. I don't know who they were. I forget. But the broadcast was actually pretty good. I saw people complain about the broadcast, but I thought it was okay.
Joe didn't like it.
He didn't?
Joe Pasek?
Yeah.
Well, he had a comment on Facebook.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe that's where I saw the complaint. I didn't think it was horrible. At Q's Waterboy on Twitter, Buddy Buckets is the hottest shooter in the Milky Way galaxy. Guerriere in Washington provided some much-needed help off the bench. Dolly, his usual scrappy self, and Hughes clutch down the stretch. Don't ever doubt the orange, because that's when we get fire, baby. Let's effing go.
All right, fired up.
Yeah, fired up. It was a great game to be fired up about, too. Yesterday was a really good day for Syracuse fans with, I think, UConn lost, Georgetown lost, Duke lost, and we beat Virginia Tech at home. That's a great day right there for a Syracuse college basketball fan. So
yeah, that's true.
Robert on Facebook, not a top fan, but we'll read it anyway. Was nice to see them not fold under the second half run. That is key, because we've seen that before. We've seen that this year. Guerriere is going to be a beast. We think so. But like I said, man, it's like, you know, 24 minutes, 4 fouls. Like, you got to clean that up. Joe, you think maybe there was a bad foul in there, whatever, whatever. But still, I mean, like Coach said in the post-game press conference, he plays a whole game. He's not going to be able to play a whole game. He can't play a whole game.
No. No. And the whole thing as well with that is that if he plays a whole game, then that means that Dolezal plays a whole hell of a lot at center. And again, there's certain games where as much as CDB frustrates everybody all the way down to the coaching staff and probably his own teammates at this point, you see him just telling them throughout the game. Like, yeah. They're literally at the free throw line. Hey,
they're pointing to their heads, like, look, pay attention. Yeah.
But we need him because of his height and...
We need him to start. Frankly,
I can't play center for 40 minutes, right?
No, he can't.
So
right.
That's essentially where it's. I mean, Guerriere, it could be a situation against smaller teams where we could go that route, but I think that he understands that we need Sidibe's height, and that's why we can't give up on him because no one else is going to come and save us. And John Bolzac is redshirted, and Jesse Edwards is. I just don't think he's ready for the big show. So, that's really what. What it comes down to.
It's just unfortunate.
I mean, at some point, someone's got to create some type of apparatus or some type of device where you can kind of just put it around Sidibe's arms and like force him to hold his arms like straight up in the air so he can't put him down.
Let's just do the dude from Police Academy. Remember when he got sunburn or whatever? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He had his arms in the
cast. Or just pretend you're doing a Y in YMCA. Just
put him in a cast.
You know what I mean? Like,
put him in a cast and stick him out on the court. Okay? And he can only jump straight up. I don't know. But, you know, he's out there. Honestly, he's out there to start. And Joe, like you say, he's going to start because he's the tallest guy. But he's also going to just give that bumper to Guerriere and Dolezal on those fouls. I mean, it's a little bit of a bumper, you know. The better he does to start, the better for us, just in general for the rest of the game.
He makes some good plays, right? He had a block. He can rebound. I mean, I think Dolezal actually just passed him as far as the leading rebounder, as far as average per game.
Well, but.
Okay,
I don't know, man. I don't know. Does he do stuff sometimes? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's playing college basketball. I mean, he's a scholarship player. Does he do stuff sometimes? Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Dominic on Facebook, a win with a slow start from Hughes and Buddy as hot as a 69 GTO. This team just gets better week to week, even with Sidibe getting put in timeout by Coach in the first half. Yeah, they are getting better, but... there's just Sidibe, and we just talked about it. Sidibe is not getting better, and I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah,
my point.
But
no progress with Sidibe.
It's tough to gauge some of these teams we're playing too, because some of these teams, like we talked about earlier before in the podcast, they do have weaknesses that we can take advantage of. Not every team that we play against, i.e. the next team we play against, really has a lot of weaknesses.
Right.
We can kind of make the zone look like either Virginia or what it was against Virginia Tech. Two totally different 2-3 zones based upon their weaknesses.
Totally. Right.
And with Notre Dame, we can't really do that. So
Exactly. Exactly why you need a Sidibe down low to do more. That's exactly why. Notre Dame. It's a perfect example. Steven on Facebook. Good solid win. Quincy had some good minutes, and if Brahma wants to have James Arthur not scream at him so much, hustling back on defense would be a good start. Yeah, he's not a hustler, okay? He just doesn't hustle, so that's it. Chris on Facebook, Coach Boeheim can still coach. The haters can keep running their mouths all they want. Have a little faith and patience. The wheels are turning. You know, Coach always, and it's just cyclical when Syracuse does bad, or when anything, you could probably say this with any team almost, but he was doing the best he could with what he had. And he said straight up, look, this is not going to click anytime soon, guys. You know, I said 10 games at the beginning of the year. Now I'm thinking maybe 15 or 20 after I've seen him play. He basically said that in the beginning of the year, right? So, I feel like the game plans have been great in these three wins. They've been awesome. I think it's been great coaching. I think the way that Joe was having issues and he put Howard in the first half. We talked about it. I think it was brilliant.
Right.
It helped tremendously. I mean, we might not win that game without that one move. If you just leave Joe out there and be like, oh, well, hopefully he heats up. No, he made that's a risky call to make in the first half of a game like that.
No, because he's proven that he just does just keep Joe in sometimes. Right. So maybe that's, you know, he worked Joe up to this point and he got hot. He went a little run and there was a couple games where Joe was right up there in the high 30 plus minutes just with everybody else. Right. And there's probably some times earlier in the season when Joe kind of made some mistakes and he probably should have taken him out and didn't. And whether that's because Howard Washington was maybe nursing a knee injury or whatnot, then that's one thing. But Howard Washington coming in now, like you said, to your point, now he's understanding maybe how he's got to coach. And that's another thing, too, that happens.
He's learning,
coaches.
Too.
You have so many young – you're learning how to coach the kid, right?
Totally.
So maybe now he sees when he needs to take Joe out. He sees the body language or he sees something, and he knows he needs to take Joe out. And he's talking about it in his presser about Bryson Goodine looking a little bit better in practice as well. So that's another option, right? So that's another kind of – player that might seem to have gotten better and maybe he's ready to come in and contribute. So we'll see.
Yeah. And you could see Joe was struggling a little bit. He wasn't taking a lot of shots. I mean, you know, back to the point though, that he's making about coach, I think it's just really tough to judge anything that early in the season. Cause let's be honest, dude, last year wasn't great and we had an easier non-conference schedule. Like, this was a tough non-conference schedule with the two with the two conference games added. So, I mean, during that time. So, I mean, I think he's been great. I think you got to be criminally insane to, you know, want him out of here at this point. I don't think anybody could do as good.
Well, again, though, there's a lot of fans that have been waiting to see something like these last three games, too, right?
Yeah,
up to that
point. But he said
maybe they
15,
did have
20
a reason,
games.
Right? So, yeah. Well, yeah,
true.
But
we're right about there, though.
A lot of coaches, you know, say that when they're struggling.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But here, to this point, a bit, I mean, might as well just do this one real quick. Last one. Kevin on Facebook, every year the players get used to each other as the season goes on and how they get better and better. That's how Boeheim's forte has been his whole career. So, yeah, we're not getting a ton of blue chips. He gets what he gets, and we work with what we got, and he brings them up. And to your point before that you've mentioned on the show before was that we're just feeling the burn of those scholarships and not being able to build the team up and not being able to have the reserves on the bench to bring them up to be seniors this year. We just haven't been able to have that depth to build those teams because of that.
No, and that's not just, you know, there's a lot of fans that maybe I don't want to speak for everybody because I'm sure there's some fans out there that do watch a lot of college basketball, but it's probably not too many fans that like follow other teams, and that's every team every year. That's not just us. It's not just this, oh, it's Jim Boeheim. I mean, obviously the coaches have somewhat to do with how the players get better as the season goes along, but usually that's really what it is you have new teams with new players and you're playing against new teams with new players. So you have to be able to game plan for and scout and watch film to try to put up the game plan to make it work. So, again, I think you want to start calling for someone's head. A bad coach and when they get fired is when it gets tough in the beginning of the season and through the middle of the season, and then their team regresses.
Right.
There's not too many times that we've seen that, right? So
right,
as long
right,
as your
right.
team's progressing in an upward
right.
motion,
to some extent.
Then I think then that has something to do right. with coaching because right. the coaching is building this team up. You want to talk about a bad coach, talk about a coach that keeps losing because his team's not getting better. Then they lose their team, and their team doesn't trust their coach. They don't want to listen to the game plan, and they don't want to make the adjustments, and they're just out there playing their own little thing.
Well,
so.
let's just as a comparison, and I'm not dogging this coach at all because he's brilliant, and I think obviously he's great. But UVA has not gotten much better since the beginning of the year. We talked about it in the post game when we played them, and in the preview when we talked about going to play them. They haven't gotten much better. They really haven't. So, I mean, in comparison, same type of situation, lost a lot of guys, young team, you know, So, you know, this team is hot right now. They're hot right now. And, you know, will continue? I don't know. But these past three games was the exactly what they needed for, I mean, Coach talked about confidence. How's your confidence of your team? Well, obviously they got confidence. They play like they have confidence. And there's no, you know what I'm saying, Joe? I mean, they got confidence. They know they can go out and win.
Right. I mean, we're 3-0 on the road in ACC.
Right.
So far, Virginia's beaten us at home. Virginia Tech's beaten us at home. Notre Dame's beaten us at home. And we've gotten revenge on two out of the three. And with the next one in our sights, hopefully they can take that. You know we're going to be confident. There's no reason not to be.
That's right. Speaking of the next one in our sights, Joe, Syracuse is back on the road Wednesday to face Notre Dame for the second time this year. We all remember being down by four with Gerard hitting the three at the buzzer, but he couldn't get the and-one call. Syracuse lost 88-87. John Moody would have the best game of the season so far on that night in the Dome, scoring 28 points and 14 rebounds. Coming into this game, Mooney is still leading his team in points with 15.4 and rebounds with 13.9. Both of those averages are up slightly from our last meeting a couple games ago. Your outside shooters remain the same. Now you got TJ Gibbs shooting 40.7% from behind the arc and Prentice Hub shooting an even 37 from behind the arc, and they take a ton of them. They take a ton of shots. Notre Dame will have a week to prepare for SU. They did not play a game since last Wednesday. So combine that with Syracuse being the road team, and that, in my opinion, Joe, that's a huge advantage for Notre Dame, getting to stay home a week while we're on the road twice in that span. So,
yeah, well, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes people keep talk it rolling. About.
Yeah.
They say that sometimes it doesn't help. Just sometimes with that much time away from the game, then sometimes it takes a little while to get back into it. But, you know, they're going to be ready. They're a solid team. They're a good coach team. They've been in pretty much dogfights, win or lose, throughout the whole season. And this is a team that's going to give us fits because, like we talked about, we can't pop out and make our zone look like a 4-1 or a 3-2 at times to try to stop their three-point shooters because they have the likes of John Mooney and Juwan Durham that can score down low and do some things that won't allow that to happen. So we're going to fall back to the traditional zone where it's going to look more like Virginia, but our guards are going to have to cover more ground. It's going to be tough because in these type of situations, a lot of times we allow that corner or the up top a three-point shot. TJ Gibbs and Prentice Hub killed us last time when we played them. And they've kind of, especially Prentice Hub, he's been hot ever since. He scored 24 against, I think, albeit a loss against NC State after we played them. He scored 24. Then they went and they played Louisville and lost. He didn't have such a great game. Louisville's a good team. It's understandable. And then they just beat Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech by four, and he had 25. So Prentice Hub is a guy that obviously we have to worry about. TJ Gibbs looks like he gets in, you know, 14 to 16 points every single game, and John Mooney is still doing his double-double stuff. So John Mooney's going to be John Mooney. I don't believe there's anything we can do unless we get a little bit of help from the refs and we get him in foul trouble. Juwan Durham in foul trouble, too. I think we struggled with the boards and allowing second-chance points and offensive rebounds and stuff like that when he was in there. So when you really saw us get back in that game and even have a chance, it was because we fouled out Juwan Durham. So
yep,
it's going to be tough. As long as Juwan Durham's in there, Sidibe has to be in there.
Mooney, Hub and Gibbs combined for 71 of their 88 points in the last outing against Syracuse. So yeah.
Those are the main guys. Gibbs hit him early, and then Prentice Hub pretty much hit him throughout, and John Mooney stayed pretty much solid. So I know that Rex Pfluger also, he got hurt halfway through the game when we played them as well. He didn't play the next game against NC State, but they pretty much are running with the same. I mean, this, like we said, they 6'11 Juwan Durham, 6'10 John Mooney are their starting forwards, and they went back to Pfluger in the starting lineup with Hub and with TJ Gibbs, and they have Lazuski and Dane Goodwin coming off the bench, who can, you know, do pretty well, fill in with those for those guys, give them some time on the bench to get some minutes, get some rest. But that's pretty much the seven deep that they go, and that's who we're going to see. And we're going to have to bring our confidence.
Well, yeah. Hostile territory, sure. You're not going to stop John Mooney. You can only hope to contain him, as the old pretty adage much. Goes. I mean, if we can contain him, I will be happy. But you've got Prentice Hubb, who's just, he can destroy us, and TJ Gibbs. He's second on the team in scoring, right behind Mooney. So, I mean, those are your top three scores, average per game is those three anyway. But
yeah.
give me a one of Joji's points. Give me one of Joji's points.
God, why do you always got to put me on the spot? you know one I'm going to do every single time.
Well, I know one is rebounding, and our goal, just so you know, our goal, when we first started doing the posts for the scouting report and prediction thing, Syracuse was below 200 in the nation in rebounding. They got up to even 200 going into the Virginia Tech game. They were up to like 184. We want to see them get to 150-ish. Okay, that's our first goal. And they're gonna move up again. They have been getting better, but these are the games we had a lot of these type games, a lot of these big strong guys down low type games earlier in the season, and that's how we got so far behind, because we were getting killed. So
we've actually played some teams that we match up a little bit better than with. So
yeah, they only out rebounded us by three the last time around, believe it or not, even 39-36. And that's with John Mooney having 14 of his own in Durham with 10 of his own. So,
Well, I'll tell you what. Looking at, I always like to look at the analytics and everything. Looking at KenPom, looking at the net rankings, we jumped up from 77 to 69. And they, I believe, are at 74 right now. And when you look at KenPom, I believe we're both like right there in the 52s. So when you look at these analytics and rankings, they have us in Notre Dame is very, very similar teams. So, again, it's just going to be tough because we're going to have to try to make somebody else beat us. That's probably one of mine, is making somebody else other than the Gibbs and the Hubs out front.
There's a lot of guys to take care of.
Well, there's definitely a lot of guys to take care of, right? But you know exactly. First off, TJ Gibbs and Prentice Hubb, one of the things that I noticed the first time we played him, Prentice Hubb, to me, it seemed like he made every single three from the same spot. So find those spots, right? Right there at the corner is a top corner, sometimes pretty deep. TJ Gibbs, same thing. It was the right side corner. Hubbs is left side corner. And a lot of the ones they made were from those spots. So obviously keep those guys off those spots, you know, let them try to make three-pointers somewhere else. But it's tough because if you go out there too high, then you make it too easy for Mooney to get the ball at the free throw line, and then it's Mooney time, in which what do you let him just get that open jumper at the free throw line? Yeah. Do you come up and then he passes it down to Durham for an easy dunk? It's going to be one of those things where we're going to have to give something up, and I'm afraid that it's probably going to be that corner three to Goodwin or a Lazuski or a Pfluger or somebody that we got to make somebody else beat us. So just like what Virginia Tech did to us when we had Howard Washington on the floor, we're going to kind of have to do that next week, because if they move the ball the way that they normally do, them being a seasoned team, they've already seen us once this year, and we know they're known scorers. Those guys are going to get open, and they'll get wide open shots. It's just, who do you want the shots to go to?
Yep. And you know, the thing is we know who they are, and we know what we need to do. So Syracuse needs to go in there, and I hope it's not an 88-87 shootout. That's a lot of points. But I mean,
you have to remember, we both shot what, like 48%, around 50% last time that we played.
We both shot 48.4% from 3 points.
And we both hit 15 threes, I believe, right?
We both hit 15 threes. We were both 15
right, from
31.
The beginning, right? Team Mike Bray said, whoever hits the most threes wins, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of makes me nervous, because
That's their game plan coming into this game?
Well, that's their game plan coming in, and you know that we're not going to really – it's not going to be easy pickings trying to score down low like we did a little bit against Boston College and a little bit against Virginia Tech. So.
But don't you think, though – I mean, and you're right, and I understand that. It's totally, totally right. But we have gained some experience in trying to do so. Sometimes when you get that little bit of different competition and you do – you do. Buddy has been great. Buddy's been doing a fantastic job of driving to the rim. Even if he gets a little mid-range jumper in there, you know, turnaround jumper.
Right.
He's good at that. And he's worked on that. Like, they've been working on him with that. So you kind of need, you need one of your guards to kind of step up and do that type of work. So who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe, I know, have they improved enough to make a difference from the first time we played Notre Dame? I don't know, but he's definitely gotten a good amount of practice at doing so in live game action. So, anyway.
Yeah, and we've seen some other people. I mean, we've seen Guerriere step up. I believe Guerriere came in and got in foul trouble real quick against Notre Dame. So,
yeah, it was like 3 and 30 seconds or something like that. All right.
I mean, it's we'll see, man. But again, it's gonna be another cardiac cues. I love the meme that you posted. It's pretty much spot on with the heart.
I couldn't sit down. I was losing it.
Oh yeah.
I can't stand. Yeah. And then all the timeouts and everything. It makes it does help me a little bit. It helps me a little bit. But then again, it just is that moment of. The anticipation, the anxiety of going back and what's going to happen. And when when Nolly threw up that shot, I was like, nope, he's no way. If he makes that, I'll myself. But he didn't. And, it was just an awful shot. It was terrible.
You got to hope for it, right?
Yeah, I know.
It was bad, and we are so glad for that. So get ready.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, ESPN2. Should be an easy game to find, considering that we've seen – on social media that there's been some local fans that have had issues trying to find the games and watch them. But
What's up with that? Spectrum?
I don't know. It was some, because the thing is so if it says ACC Network or ACC Network Extra or this, there's a lot of people that I can get ESPN Plus or I pay for so I can stream it. Problem is that if they play it on local cable, then it ends up getting blacked out in your area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So on my, like the same thing down here, I have Spectrum and it said ACC Network Extra. I went to my ESPN app, said blacked out. And that was because it was on, I think, like CBS South or some random station down here that I just happened to have. So
my game was on ACC Network Extra, but it was YES. It was the YES Network.
Mm-hmm. And that was the same situation up in New York, is that it was on the YES Network. So because it was on the YES Network, then it got blacked out. But yet, if you stream like Anthony or Tony and you have Sling
or something like that,
and you don't have YES in your package, which most people probably don't, especially if you're not a Yankees fan,
then
you don't like watching baseball, then you're not going to get it.
Yeah. So it seems pretty crappy, right? Yeah, no, I don't want to go on a tangent about it, but this has been the problem with the ACC network. They haven't been a network. They've been on all different channels. So tell me how that's a network. I have no idea.
If you're going to be a network, then why can't we just not? Why do we have to get ESPN?
Or if it's a network, and it's a package, like the ESPN network has got ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU.
And they have the ACC network app. And you pay a $5 or whatever, and then you get to watch every single game that you can stream.
It's annoying.
Because like you said, there's been a lot of people that I've noticed more than probably any of the past seasons. There's been a lot of local people that have had issues watching the most simple games because of the ACC network.
There should never be a conference game this late in the season that just isn't on it should be easy to find. Put it that way.
Especially locally,
absolutely. So, anyway, I could go on for probably about another hour about the network stuff, but I'll save it. I want to thank everybody who participated in fan feedback. Thank you to all of you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever platform you listen on. We really appreciate all that. Thank you to MyBookie. Go there now, mybookie.ag. Sign up using the promo code CHAIR to double your deposit, dollar for dollar, up to $1,000. Thanks to James on guitar. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
speak.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.